I'm Ronnie Allen, and it is my pleasure to introduce a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Her group, the Shirelles, was instrumental in defining a sound, the girl group sound. Between 1960 and 1963, they placed 6 singles in the top 10. 2 of them made number 1. Overall, more than 25 chart hits, not only in the United States, but all around the world. And it is my pleasure right now to introduce a founding member of the Shirelles who was on all of those hit records. Her name is Beverly Lee. And Beverly, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Ronnie.
You were attending Passaic High School back in the late 50s, I guess it was. It was around 57 or 58. Is that where the Shirelles story really starts?
Yes, we were fooling around in gym. Gym teacher came in and caught us and said, there's going to be a show in school. Do this show or fail gym. And quite naturally, we opted to do the show, not knowing that a classmate was in the high school auditorium at the time whose mother owned a record company. And we wrote a song called I Met Him on Sunday, and we sang that song on that show. And the kids fell in love with it, and the classmate was Mary Jane Greenberg, and she pursued us, chasing us daily, asking to let her mother hear the song. Got tired of her chasing us, and we said, well, let your mother hear the song. Her mother was Florence Greenberg, who owned a record company, and she offered us a record contract.
You were not known as the Shirelles at that time.
No, we called ourselves the Pacuellos.
Can I ask where you came up with the name the Pacuellos?
Well, it's a name that we made up. We thought it meant birds for some strange reason. We were taking Spanish, and what it meant, birds. And we found out later on, our Spanish teacher, Mrs. Zwinski, told us that it meant nothing.
It sounds like an interesting name, though, the Pacuellos.
Well, at the time, you know, the guys had a lot of those names of the birds, penguins, and, you know.
When this girl heard you, there were 4 of you at that time, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, and the 4 were yourself, obviously. And the other 3 were?
Shirley Alston, Doris Coley, and Addie Harris. And Addie was known as Nikki.
Tell me a little bit about the song, I Met Him on a Sunday, which you just mentioned.
Well, when we were told to do the show, at the time our repertoire of songs consisted of Walking Along, Little Darling, and Sunday Kind of Love. And for some strange reason, we decided we wanted a 4th song. And we saved I Met Him on Sunday for last. We wrote that song in my apartment where I was living in Passaic. And we just each took a line and went down and sang the song. And we saved that song for last, like I said, on the show. And the kids just went berserk.
Before I play the record, let me ask, what day or days were you on this particular song?
Mine is Wednesday. I dated him on Wednesday in Bye Bye Baby.
You had the last word then, Bye Bye Baby.
Yeah, I told him hit the road, Jack.
We're going to listen to that song right now. And this is the one that started it all for the Shirelles. This is I Met Him on a Sunday.
Friday, oh, when he showed up Saturday, oh.
the Shirelles, and I Met Him on a Sunday, and I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Beverly Lee, who is on that recording and every subsequent Shirelles recording. At some point, you changed your name from the Pequellos to the Shirelles. Was that Florence's idea or one of the girls' ideas? How did that come about?
No, Florence wanted to change our name to the Honeytones, and we didn't like that name. We thought it was corny, and we were on our way to New York, and we wrote out a list of names, and we chose Shirelles. A lot of people think the name derived from Shirley's name, but it did not. It was just a name that we made up.
Florence's label originally was Tiara Records, I believe. T-I-A-R-A, is that correct?
Yes.
How did she start Scepter Records?
Tiara was her own little small company, and after she got us as artists, and I Met Him on Sunday made some noise for her, she expanded and became Scepter, Scepter Juan.
There was a Scepter label, and then Juan was a subsidiary of Scepter, right? They were both hers?
Yes.
I Met Him on a Sunday originally was released on the Tiara label, and then it was Decca Records that picked it up.
Right.
And it almost made the national top 40. In a lot of areas in the country, it did make the top 40, so it was a good start.
You know, that song is still being played all over the world, and as a matter of fact, I just recently received a royalty check, and I'm just constantly amazed at the different countries where it's being played and the different movies that it's used in.
Do you still perform that when you do your shows?
Yes, very much a part of our show.
That was like a good luck charm.
It's a fun song, and everybody could identify with it.
I believe in 1958 you also made a debut at the Apollo Theater.
Yes. A lot of people weren't aware of the fact that we were still in school while we were performing at the Apollo and other venues. We had to get permission to leave school and we go, you know, for the weekend work at the Apollo Theater. That was one of my exciting moments because I had been to the Apollo Theater with my mother and my aunt to see Eleanor Jacquet, a saxophone player. And I never dreamed that I would one day be on that stage performing, so that was quite an honor for me.
In 1958, you were a teenager.
Yes.
So it must have been kind of an awesome, maybe humbling experience.
It was. Well, when we were young school kids, and it was something that we did for fun, and we loved it. We, you know, when you love something that you do, you want to do it.
Was this a one-week engagement, or was it several weeks? Or
no, a week. You would perform for a week at the Apollo, and then you would go to a week at the Uptown Theater in Philadelphia, or maybe the Howard in Washington, right, the Regal in Chicago, and the Royal in Baltimore. And that was called the Chitlin Circuit.
While you were doing this, were you still attending Passaic High School?
Yes. We were in and out of school. We'd take our lessons with us, and, you know, and we'd go back in school. And then it came to a point we were out so much, we had to go to a private school.
Initially, before you went to the private school, how did your fellow students feel about it? Were they happy for you? Were any of them jealous? Or?
Kids were fine. As a matter of fact, the first time we heard I Met Him on Sunday, we were in school. They notified the school that it was being played on the radio, and we all heard it on the intercom in school at the same time.
We're going to move now to your very first top 40 hit, talking about Tonight's the Night. This was on Florence Greenberg's Scepter label. I'm not sure who wrote the song.
Well, Shirley wrote it, and Luther Dixon.
Luther Dixon wrote several of your songs, I believe.
Yes, Mama Said. And he wrote for the Crest. They could do a show about Luther Dixon. He's written quite a few hit records. Bobby Darin, you know, he's an amazing man.
Right now, we're going to listen to the song. It got to number 39 on the chart. These are the Shirelles, and Tonight's the Night.
Make me
talk about the girl group sound. You listen to Tonight's the Night, and there's so many recordings that came out after Tonight's the Night that sound a lot like that one. It seems that a lot of groups imitated you.
Well, that was quite an honor when people would imitate what we were doing, so we were quite flattered.
We're going to move right now to a record that had a lot of firsts attached to it. It was the first number one single by a girl group on the Billboard Hot 100. Also, the first number one hit for songwriters Jerry Goffin and Carole King. And I'm wondering if they happened to write Will You Love Me Tomorrow especially for you, or did they write it for somebody else? Do you know the story there?
I don't know the exact story, but I do know that Luther Dixon heard the song. Luther was our producer, our A&R man, and Luther had an excellent ear for material for us. They brought a demo in, and we heard it on a demo, and we did not like the song. Carole King sang on a demo. It sounded like a twangy country and western song. But Luther, like I said, had an ear for the right material for us. And he said, you're going to record this. It's a good song for you. And when we went into the studio and the orchestra started playing the arrangement, it was totally different and very lush and with strings. And it was just outstanding. It was an awesome song at that point. And Carole King didn't like the way that one of the guys was playing the kettle drums. So Carole King playing kettle drums on that song.
Shirelles, Will You Love Me Tomorrow? A lot of DJs announce the title as Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow, because you actually sing the word still. But I think the actual title is just Will You Love Me Tomorrow. Am I correct there?
Yes, but you know, you see it both ways. And as a matter of fact, when it became a million seller, Carole had her doorbell chimed to that melody.
Why not? I'm Ronnie Allen, and I am talking with Beverly Lee, who was on that recording and every other Shirelles record, beginning with I Met Him on a Sunday. And once again, I want to say thank you, Beverly, for taking the time to do this interview as we celebrate your wonderful career, which has lasted many, many years. And as we're going to point out, the Shirelles are still going strong today. And you're also involved in some charitable work, which we're going to mention a little bit later on, if we may. That sound good?
Of course. I'd love to talk about it.
But right now, we're going to just talk about the first few hits. We'll go kind of in chronological order, sort of. We're going to kind of deviate a little bit from chronological order because the next record that I am about to play, it was originally recorded in 1959. It was originally done by a group called the Five Royals, a male group. The Shirelles did it in 1959, and it kind of dented the chart, but that's all it did. It just dented it. That's number 83 on the chart. It was decided after Will You Love Me Tomorrow that the next single was going to be a re-release of Dedicated to the One I Love. How did that come about, that you decided to re-release something that didn't really chart that high initially?
Well, that was the record company's decision, really, but I want to tell you a little story about Dedicated to One I Love. We were in Baltimore at the Royal Theater on a show with the Five Royals, and we would watch them every show, and they sang that song. We just fell in love with it. And when we came back home, and when we would be in a city in New York at SEPTA Records, we would sing it a lot. And Florence would drive us to New York, and we were always singing it. She said, girl, she said, you love that song so much, why don't you record it? And that's how we record it, Dedicated to the One I Love.
And the lead singer on that one was?
Doris Coley.
Well, when it was re-released in 1961, it zoomed up to number 3 on the chart. And it was the same record. You didn't re-record it. It was the exact same release.
We did not re-record it.
This one was better the second time around. These are the Shirelles, and Dedicated to the One I Love.
This is Dedicated to the One I Love. While I'm far away from you, my baby, I know it's hard for you, my baby.
Dedicated to the One I Love, and that particular one eventually was recorded by the Mamas and the Papas.
Yes, they did record it, and I'm the one who's doing that little top, little tittering part.
I am Ronnie Allen talking with Beverly Lee of the Shirelles, and we're going to go to a song now called Mama Said. Mama said there'd be days like this. I remember while that record was still on the chart, another record made the chart that had almost the identical tune. It was by Bobby Rydell, and it was called The Fish. Come on, baby, now do the fish. And the two were like kind of on the chart at the same time, but Mama Said came first.
Right.
What's the story with Mama Said? Did you say that was written by Luther?
Luther Dixon and Willie Denton, I believe. Anyhow, that beginning that you hear, that harmonizing in the beginning, Mama said, was not there. Luther had come up with the song and the arrangement, and as they were playing it down, all of a sudden I started singing a top part, and Doris started harmonizing with me, and Luther loved it, and that's how that came about.
Mama said, the Shirelles. In 1 hour, we don't have time to celebrate all of your hit recordings, but we're going to do quite a few of them anyway. We're going to move to a song called A Thing of the Past, and this one came after Mama Said.
That was another song that Luther picked out for us. At that time, we had got into a lot of strings, and the Shirelles were also known as the female Drifters because the Drifters used a lot of strings with their music.
Starting, I guess, with There Goes My Baby.
Yes.
A Thing of the Past used strings.
Oh, yes.
And this was part of a two-sided hit. These are the Shirelles and A Thing of the Past.
Don't be influenced foolish pride.
Thing of the Past. Nice sound. The Shirelles. Beverly Lee on the phone with me right now. And the flip side of A Thing of the Past also got a lot of chart action. Some people say it's great to have a two-sided hit, but there's two schools of thought on that. When you have a two-sided hit, that also means split play. It means that certain stations are playing generally one side of the recording, other stations are playing the other side, and so instead of getting a big hit, you sometimes get a couple of medium hits. And I think that's what happened with A Thing of the Past and the one we're going to play right now called What a Sweet Thing That Was.
Well, it's almost like twins sharing an identity. They're both great. They have a good personality, but you'll see one side of one and one side of the other. So when you have something that's that powerful, things like that will happen.
You said hello and loneliness said goodbye then. It made me so glad that I almost had to cry then. I never believed in love at first sight, but when you held me tight that night, I knew with you. So was sweet, your lips were warm and tender. I wanted your kiss, I couldn't resist surrender. I could have sworn that violin played, 'cause when the rhythm played with you so near, I heard the sound of your sigh now. Set of my, what a sweet thing.
That was What a Sweet Thing That Was. That sounds funny. That was What a Sweet Thing That Was.
I love that song.
We're going to move now to a song that was not the first Burt Bacharach and Hal David song to make the chart. I believe, and I'm not sure, but the first one that they ever did that made the chart, at least the first Burt Bacharach song I'm aware of, was a song called The Blob by the Five Blobs. Do you remember that one?
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
I won't even start to describe it, but it was not one of the songs that Burt Bacharach would probably say, this is one of the greatest songs I've ever written. However, when they wrote a song called Baby It's You, and it did so well for the Shirelles, this one, you would have to say, was one of their earliest collaborations, and it certainly helped them really get their career in full force. Was this another one that Luther found?
That's right. Like I said, Luther had an ear.
Now, what was your reaction when you first heard Baby, It's You?
We heard that in a demo form, but we loved it. You know, it was just a beautiful song. The lyrics, the meaning.
It's not the way you smile that touched my heart. It's not the way you kiss that tears me apart. Oh, oh, oh. Many, many nights roll by. What can I do? I
can't help myself.
'Cause baby, it's you. Baby, it's you.
La 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 la.
You should hear what they say about you. Cheat, cheat.
La 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 la.
They say you've never, never, never been true.
Well, doesn't matter what they say. I know I'm gonna love you any old way.
What can I do when it's true?
I don't want nobody, nobody.
'Cause baby, it's you. Baby, it's you.
David, great song, Baby, It's You. And a few years later, that one made the chart again in a different version by a group called Smith.
Oh, and I love that version. I have to try to find it again. I did have it, but I don't know what happened to it. I love it.
The lead singer of Smith was a lady named Gail McCormick. A slightly different arrangement, though. Their version had a harder edge.
It was real funky, you know.
I'm Ronnie Allen, talking with Beverly Lee of the Shirelles. And once again, thank you, Beverly, for joining me here as we celebrate the great musical sounds that the Shirelles have made. And I'm going to pick a couple of songs that people don't generally play, but I happen to like. One of them is It's a Mad, Mad, Mad... Mad, mad. How many mads are there? Mad, mad, mad,
mad, mad, mad, mad, mad, mad world. Not the mads.
You said six. Anyway, that was the title song
of a movie. It has to still be aired from time to time, and every now and then we get a royalty check from that.
They played your song in the movie, right? That one?
And 31 Flavors from the album was in the movie.
31 Flavors.
They were dancing by the jukebox off of that one. For It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, we went to the premiere of it, and I'll never forget it because Uncle Milton Berle, introduced us.
Wow.
Yeah, it was one of the highlights of my life.
Now, I remember that movie starred the who's who of...
Right, and they were there in the audience. It was a fabulous night.
Remember some of the other comedians that were there? I know Phil Silvers was in that movie.
Sid Caesar. Oh, my God. There were so many of them.
It was a very entertaining movie.
As a matter of fact, I have that movie now.
Really?
Yeah, that on DVD.
We're going to listen to the title song from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. These are the Shirelles.
It's a mad, 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 mad world. When teenage kids look messed up, they will tell you they're all dressed up. That's what they claim in this mad, 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 mad world. A girl who makes you cool there, you call hot stuff, they say cool there. It means the same in this mad, 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 mad world. A boy will buy brand new right. You throw them in the sink, let them soak till they shrink. They're not right until they're too tight.
Hey!
Don't try to mastermind it, yeah, or discover,
yeah,
what's behind it.
Yeah.
This prisoner can say, what the heck is a mad, 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 mad world? La paz entre naciones, la conservan los cañones, y así la paz en el mad, 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 mad world. Enfants un cold, un piquete la bête, un pétone la tête, moi je vous dis en el mad, 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 mad world. A boy by in the crown is filled to my mind, bowing crown is Jack Kinder.
Mad, 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 mad world.
Our traffic is so congested, mass confusion on wheels. But Detroit is a joy. What they'll do in Detroit is make bigger automobiles. Don't try to understand it, how it happened, or who planned it. Just dance and sing, have yourself a fling. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Y paso, paso el mundo, da la cima, sin infundo. Say to the pain in this mad, mad, Nakayoshi, Nakayoshi, Sukuniko in this mad, 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 mad world. The only thing you are sure of is that nothing is sure. Have a ball, live it up, only fool, give it up. Deserve your ball, but deserve.
What?
Well, you mentioned 31 flavors, and I remember 31 flavors being in the movie. And what can you tell me about 31 flavors? Again, that sounds like another one that maybe Luther Dixon found. I'm just guessing.
Well, Luther wasn't there at that time. Ed Townsend, who recorded For Your Love, was producing us.
Oh, okay.
That's how this Mad, Mad, Mad World came about, in 31 flavors. So the whole field, you know, changed right then at that time.
And 31 flavors is featured in a scene in the movie. Well, let's listen to it right now. Another Side of the Shirelles.
Confectionary ice cream dough. Every time I kiss him, I feel mighty fine. I love his 31 flavors.
Now we like Tutti Frutti
Band. Pineapple peach, coconut and banana, some overseas, chocolate too. I'm telling you that when we kiss, he gives me 31 flavors.
And we like Tutti Frutti Band.
I want the world to know how much I love my little ice cream dough. Every time I kiss him, I feel mighty fine. I love his 31 flavors.
And we like Tutti Frutti Band.
Pineapple peach, coconut and banana, some overeat,
much I love my little white ginger. Every time I kiss him, I feel mighty fine. I love his 31 flavor. Banana, coconut juice.
Flavors. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Forget that. That was the Shirelles, of course. The thing about the Shirelles, when we talk about them defining a sound, they actually didn't define just a single sound. You actually defined many different sounds. You did up-tempo songs. You did ballads. And each of your records was a little bit different from the previous one.
Yeah, we did quite a mixture. Blues, pop. We were ahead of our time when I look back at some of the material that was presented to us.
I bet you didn't realize when you were popular that you were defining what would eventually be referred to as a girl group sound. It was, I guess, years later that they came up with that term, right?
We had no idea of the impact that we were making. You know, people would suggest things to us, but we just said, hey, we're doing something that we love.
Here is something that you loved. Getting your second number one hit. Now, in terms of chart position, this was your biggest record because it was number one on the chart for 3 weeks. We're talking about Soldier Boy. And this one was a little bit unusual in that I believe this entire recording was done in unison, all four of you singing all the same part at the same time. Is that correct?
Correct. Luther was producing us there. We were finishing up an album, and Florence and Luther disappeared for about 20 minutes. They told everybody to take a break. And they came back and they gave us some lyrics. And they went off to the musicians and spoke with them. And they started playing it and he told us to sing this. And we did it in 3 takes. He said, Bevy, you get a little closer to the mic. Sold over 15 million copies, thanks to God and so many wonderful people.
Patriotic song. It touched a lot of hearts. The Shirelles and Soldier Boy. We're going to discuss the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in just a moment, but I think it's a good time to play another record. And this is a song that originally was popularized by Doris Day, Everybody Loves a Lover. Now, I know that this one was not written for you. She did it first. Can you tell me a little bit about you having recorded Everybody Loves a Lover? Whose idea was that?
Of course, Luther Dixon.
Need I ask, right?
We were really blessed to have Luther. You know, it's a fun song. As a matter of fact, they did a lot of borrowing in those days. If you listen to the song, I Know You Don't Love Me No More.
Barbara George.
Yes, it's the same, basically.
Was Everybody Loves a Lover by the Shirelles. I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Beverly Lee, the founding member of the Shirelles, who has been with the Shirelles from day one and is still touring. In 1996, something very, very special happened. What was that?
Oh, in 1996, we were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was quite an experience. It's a night I will never forget.
Do you remember who inducted you into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Darlene Love, and I forgot who the other person was, but I know Darlene Love was one of the presenters.
Right.
But in that same year, the Sekai named the auditorium at the Shirelles. Today it's called Shirelles Auditorium.
I want to talk a little bit about the fact that the Shirelles were among the first star entertainers to get involved in the battle against AIDS.
Well, at the time, nobody knew that much about AIDS, and we were asked to do some shows, and we willingly did them because we were always willing to help anybody in need. And they would ask a lot of superstars to do it, but they wouldn't do it. They didn't want to be affiliated with it. And after they started getting recognition, then a lot of them came on board. But we always rolled up our sleeves. If there was work to be done or something to do for someone, we were willing to do it. I'm involved in the mental health field because they need a voice. There are a lot of people suffering, going through unnecessary pain and stigma. We're trying to help erase the stigma.
More information about what you're talking about is available on the official Shirelles website, www.theshirelles.com. Is that correct? It has to have the word the?
Yes.
That's THESHIRELLES.com. And you'll find out about what we are just discussing here and also about what a Sherelle show is like. We're going to talk about that before we sign off. But I want to get to your last top 10 hit. And this is a song called Foolish Little Girl. And it got to number 4 in 1963. What can you tell me about Foolish Little Girl?
It's ironic that there was somebody that I was dating at the time, and the song does pertain to me. I didn't want him when he wanted me, but after he got involved with someone else, it wasn't that I wanted him back. You know, I was very happy for him that he was happy. So that song is indicating you had him and you didn't want him. Now that he has somebody else, you want him back. But it was a fun song, and I'm doing But I Love Him, and they say, no, you don't, it's just your pride is hurt, and I say, I still love him.
You broke his heart and made him cry. He's been blue since then. Now he's found somebody new, and you want him back again.
Foolish little girl, fickle little girl, you didn't want him when he wanted you. He's found another love, it's hurt his dreaming love, and there's not a single thing that you can do.
Two of the original members of the Sherelles are no longer with us, and I know you'd like to say something about each of them.
Yes, Mickey Harris, who was an outstanding woman. She was such a beautiful spirit. She and Doris Jackson will always be part of my life. When I lost Mickey and Doris, I felt like part of me had left. They're great people. I know that they brought a lot of joy to people. As a group, that's what we believed in doing, giving love and joy. And I miss them. I have my moments today where tears still come to my eyes when I think about them.
The Sherelles have made such an impression on American pop culture that your name is regularly used in Doonesbury comic strips, of all places.
Yes, I was so surprised when I saw that.
And you've also been mentioned on TV shows like Golden Girls and Murphy Brown and Cheers. And Blossom. When you think in terms of important groups, music groups, I'm not just going to say girl groups, the most important music groups in rock and roll and the 50s and primarily the early 60s, the Sherelles are synonymous with that, and you've definitely made an impression.
Well, we also have a lot of little girls named Sherelles.
Really?
Yeah, I've met some of them, but I'd like to meet more.
The Sherelles are continuing right now. You, in fact, own the name, the Sherelles.
Yes, I own a trademark, and as a matter of fact, celebrate my 50th anniversary in show business and how time flies when you're having fun, and I still love it. I love performing. I love people. I love traveling, and I love sharing my love for what I do with others. I'm doing a tour called 50 Years and Still Fabulous. And we also have Sherelle's Noel Christmas show.
There's something I read about on your website, I believe. It says an evening with the Sherelles.
Yes, well, we have different formats to our show. We have the Sherelles and Strings, where we do the symphony orchestras, which are for 65 pieces. And we do an evening with the Sherelles at the Performing Arts Centers. And we do the dance party, the corporate parties, and we do the rock and roll shows, and we do casinos, and we do cruises and private events, you name it, and we're there.
Beverly, before we introduce the last record, I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to do this and to share the memories with myself and all of your fans. And I think it's great that you are keeping the tradition of what you established moving forward.
Thank you so much. God has brought me this far, and I know that I'm nothing without God and the people. So I'm grateful to God, and I'm grateful to the people who have let me do this, something that I love. And I say thank God, and I say thank the people.
We're going to close with the recording that was your last top 40 hit, got to number 26 on the chart in the middle of 1963. Don't Say Goodnight and Mean Goodbye. The show. And now a couple of bonus tracks by the Sherelles. Here's the follow-up record to Soldier Boy. This is Welcome Home, Baby.
There is no
Close with a song that the Beatles eventually did, with Ringo Starr singing lead. These are the Shirelles with their version of Boys.